Hey everybody, Matt Siltala here alongside Dave Rohr, and we have a special guest today on the Business of Digital podcast. We have our good friend, our mutual friend, Melissa Fash. And so we're indeed grateful to Melissa for taking out, carving out some time for us and talk about the fun world of content. What we're going to talk about today is the good, the bad, and the ugly of content. And we also, Dave and I, I can't take any credit for it. Dave got Melissa's new tagline as we were talking before we started recording this podcast, and so I'll let him tell you all about that. But Melissa, welcome.
Hi, thank you.
Appreciate you taking some time to be on the show. And so, why don't you go ahead and just for those that may be new to you, new to the show, not familiar with who you are, what you do, just kind of give us a little background of why we're talking to you about content.
Okay. Well, I've been in the SEO world for about 12 years, but I have been an editor since 2011. I've worked for SEJ, Moz, Authority Labs. Now I'm the blog editor at SEMrush. Or SEMrush. Everybody says it different. And I'm also the...
Well, who's right?
I don't know. Well, they say SEMrush, so I always feel dumb saying SEMrush, but I blame Todd Malicote. He's always said it that way. But okay. I'm also the social and community manager at PubCon. And I edit there as well. So,
awesome. Yeah. And we love you for that. And we're big fans of PubCon. And Dave and I, we've had the pleasure of being on the same panel for many, many years. Sad face, not this year at PubCon. And we have been on the same panel that you've moderated. And it's been one of our favorite, one of our favorite things to do up until recently. And so that's one of the reasons why when we were talking about guests and who we should have on here, especially content related, that's why we wanted to talk to you. And so, Dave,
best moderator ever. Not because you're here,
right?
Not just because you're here.
Okay, I believe you.
All right, so let's go ahead and just jump into it. We try to keep these podcasts at around 15 to 20 minutes, and so let's just jump into the good, the bad, and the ugly of content. And so, what I wanted to, I guess, start off with was maybe just share some of your insights, if you will, as to because you have so much content that's coming, that's kind of being thrown at you or that you see or just between both of those, just the different jobs that you've listed and described. I know that you have hundreds of pieces of content just thrown at you all the time and you've looked at probably thousands over the years. And so, just maybe start us off by talking about, I guess what you would call the bad, the worst of it. And by starting off with that, we can finish with the good stuff, but it also helps us kind of get an idea for everyone out there that's just curious about what kind of content they should create, because they hear it all the time at conferences and everything, create good content, content's king, this or that. But what does it really mean? And so maybe just share some insights there and kick us off.
Okay. Well, there's two different kinds of content I can talk about. One is content for your websites and then content for writing blog articles. So they're kind of two different arenas there. So with the editing that I've done for big blogs like Moz and SEMrush and everybody else, what I get is a lot of fluff. And what is the tagline, Dave?
Cats should be fluffy, not your content.
There you go. Okay. So
No fluffy content.
I try not to be angry as an editor with fluff content. Basically what it is a bunch of tips that everybody's already heard about, already read 100 times before, nothing new, nothing actionable, nothing to help the reader replicate some steps and improve their marketing. That drives me crazy. The biggest issue I'm seeing this year is a lack of writing ability. So a lot of people are like, I can't afford to pay a writer. I beg everybody, please pay a writer, because it's obvious when you don't, especially businesses. There's a structure to quality writing. There's a flow that has to occur. And if you're just trying to write it yourself, it can tend to be a little choppy. And if you can't afford a writer, maybe hire an editor.
Speaking of that, not to cut you off, but that does beg the question that I'm asked all the time. You know, what should, you know, for good content, you know, again, we're trying to, you know, it's better than what we can do. And so I know that the answer it depends, but in general, what would someone, the normal SMB crowd, look for, or what would they expect to pay for some decent content?
It really all depends. I mean, you can pay larger companies, or you can pay. When I started out in this business, I started out as an independent person with a master's degree that was great at writing. And I started a writing business. That's all I did. And I was cheaper. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you can find someone cheaper than like a big marketing company that is going to charge a little more. I mean, I think it all ranges, but it depends on your budget. If you're a small business, you might want to try and find someone a little smaller and more affordable. But what is painful about that is if they can't even read their content and know if it's bad or not, then they're not going to be able to read someone else's content and know if it's bad or not. Does that make sense?
Ah, gotcha. Yeah.
So it really comes down to paying a little more than what you're comfortable with to have long-term quality content. And then additionally, finding someone that understands SEO. So as they're writing your content and they understand your goals and your strategies, and they can work with your web team to create content that is not only going to sell what you do, but also maybe help you with rankings as well. So it's okay. Twofold. So you can have just content, but content alone isn't going to help you with the search engine. So you kind of have to find someone that knows SEO and knows content as well.
Okay.
Or you're wasting your time and money, then you're going to have to pay an SEO to fix all your content, you know?
And we know how that goes.
Right.
Dave and I are the ones that have to talk to those guys that had just paid thousands of dollars to get everything done wrong. And it doesn't make us happy, does it, Dave?
No, and I've seen sites that they have an entire blog and it's full of articles that were clearly written as if they were going to be article spun type of content, mm-hmm. where at the very end of every one of them, it says, oh, and go read about us at our homepage. And I'm like, wait, what? Why would you do that on a piece of content in your own blog? Why wouldn't you have internal links and all this? Like, the content was just clearly designed and built as if they were going to put it on some other site. And then they were like, well, we need some content on our site. And they just kind of like, oh, well, here, we wrote this. It's really cheap. And it was really low value.
Right. And Dave, you and I were talking about this before. We talked about a dentist. I don't know if he was a dentist or what the fancy word is for my son to get his wisdom teeth removed. And I
orthodontist.
There you go. So I was looking through this whole town for wisdom teeth removal. That's what I look for. And I read site after site after site. And what I found was about five or six of them had all the same content. They'd bought canned content from somewhere. But the man that I chose had complete unique content, point by point information for me, what I needed to know, warning signs, things to look for, things to do ahead of time. He had even more information that was emailed if you were interested with more details. I mean, when people are searching for something, they want to be informed. So if they end up on a small business website and they are not informed of what they're looking for, then you've lost them. They don't care if you're great or if you won an award. They care about, can you do what they're looking for really, really fast? So that's the fail in small businesses that I see constantly and have for the last 12 years. It's not improved.
So let's expand on that a little bit, because I always love that part of it, because people are like, well, what kind of content then? And so you said, you know, information, informative, you know, information is key here. And so obviously informative, if it answers a question, you know, if it solves a problem, if it helps them understand the situation better, like what are some other types of that content for that crowd that you see that works really well? Like, you know, and it can be anything. Like do videos work well for that crowd? Do infographics work well? Do, you know, what have you seen? What would you say?
Well, there's, going into my psychology background a little bit, there's a difference in how people take in information. You have visual learners, you have auditory learners, and you have to focus on who's going to be coming to your website. Okay. So I feel bad. I use my mom all the time as an example. My mom is the type of lady that will see a pretty picture and see a headline. She's sold if it's the right headline. I'm the type of person that has to research and compare. I will read your stuff and then I will go read the same type of content from all of your competitors and choose which one I think I can trust the most. Right. So the reason that SEO copywriting costs so much is because people are not just structuring content writing it for SEO and then for your salespeople, but they're actually structuring the page. Where's the best place for this image to go? What kind of image do we need to have here that would sell? Where could a video go? Where could an infographic go? You kind of need a combination of all of them to see which one works well with your target audiences. Okay. So you can test them out. Does this work? Does this work? Then you kind of know and you move on a little bit. But as far as sales pages are concerned, you want to have a little bit of everything if you can afford it so that you're reaching multiple audiences at the same time. That's how I feel.
The other thing
I really want to stress is headlines. Headlines that inform. People scan first. They scan the headlines. Is this article or this page going to be what I'm looking for? Yes or no?
So here's the question of that. Can we have informative headlines that work really well that are not clickbait?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Just piece by piece by piece. You know, like I usually like a 1, 2, 3, 4. You have your top, you know, of course you have your title, but your top headline on the page will tell you one thing. The second headline will feed off the first and so on. Just keep going and let people see as they scan. I'm going to find out what the service is, what their experience is, what it costs, or, you know, I always like what's the bad thing about not hiring us to do this type of stuff. Put a little fear in them. Like, this is why you have to hire us for SEO or for your content. These are the downsides, because it helps people see. And I always love companies that tell me this is what could go wrong.
Right. You know? And go ahead, Dave.
I was going to jump in.
Sorry, guys.
Hello, Archie.
How's it going, Archie?
Absolutely no Star Wars stuff in her house. None at all. I was just thinking about when you're talking about headlines and where would be a good place to go ahead and see the headlines, like on Reddit. Like YouTube is actually an interesting place for headlines. Where should someone go? And if they want to kind of see the power of headlines, can you think of it? I know it's a kind of a random, but just thinking about headlines and how it talks to some of the content.
Yeah, there's
BuzzSumo.
BuzzSumo is okay. I like Answer the Public if you need a free tool.
There you go.
Because man, does it give you tons of ideas. And SEMrush has a lot of tools that are helping people create content today where you can actually put your competitors into the tool and see what they're doing, what their headlines are, or how their content is functioning. And it really lets you compare, you know, other competitors and see additional keywords you wouldn't have thought of before. So between those two, those are the two that I would recommend. And it depends on if you need free, go Answer the Public. If you can afford a little, I'd go to SEMrush, maybe use them both and compare.
You could also just scrape your competitor's blog.
But most small businesses don't know how to do that.
I know.
So
you could also go in Google and just see what shows up and just start looking at the headlines there just to see what, you know, what pops out at you. Ask a question. And I used this example recently, but it was like, I was trying to get people to think about restaurants. Like if you were going to go to a new town and you wanted to go out for steak, or, you know, you wanted to go out for, you know, a Mexican dinner or pizza if you're in Chicago or something, what questions would you have? Now, what are, you know, best pizza in Chicago? What kind of headlines jump out at you? And then if you're thinking about content, I think, Melissa, and you probably see some of the same stuff. What are the most common kind of problems, maybe, because we're talking about headlines? What are good headlines for some of the content? Is there any formula, or is it just kind of depend?
I think it all depends on who you are and what's going to sell. I mean, you can't have a headline that's too long because people can't read it. You know, you can't have it. You could have a short one, but to like, to give you an idea, one of my past clients has a sushi restaurant in this town. I don't eat it, but everyone thinks it's great. Okay. So they had just wanted to rank for sushi, but when you're searching for something like sushi, you want to know, and you're visiting like my town, which is a tourist town. Most people are searching for best sushi in Sarasota as an example. So, I optimized for that. I can't remember how long ago that was, with the headline, and it increased their traffic by like 10,000 people a month just by putting the word best in. Now that isn't going to work for everyone.
And that's like, all you did though, just change that in the headline.
Well, I mean, I optimized a little bit in the text, but that was the number one headline that we focused on, best sushi in Sarasota. And the amount of traffic that increased was, I mean, it was insane. And then they got ranked for it. They got a site link for best sushi. So thank you, Google. But you know, everyone's going to be different. And it's really like, you can't copy what your competitors are doing, and you kind of have to know what your competitors are ranking for. Cause if you might not have a shot of ranking for that. So you need to be a little more strategic and change it up. So it really varies by person. I can't say there's a formula for a great headline ever. So
what, I guess kind of playing on that, you know, these are great tips, obviously. Hopefully people are paying attention and understanding what they need to be doing with headlines and using those words in their content. Hopefully they understand that. But let's say that you're, and again, because, you know, you never get those people, do you, that say, I don't have very much of a budget or have little, you never get those, do you?
Never.
So when you do get those though, what do you tell them? Like they tend to ask, well, what's the one thing that I should focus on? Or what's the one type of content that I should focus on? Like, you know, what would you recommend, Melissa? Should they focus on that content on their page and making sure that it's, you know, it's optimized correctly, the right keywords are used, or should they focus on creating content for a blog, or should they focus on the kind of content that's going to be used for social? Like, what would you say, you know, if you had to categorize it for them and they only had a certain amount of time and a small budget, what kind of order would you give it to them to work on?
The website first is your foundation for everything. So you do your core service or product pages first, and you focus on, you know, you want those optimized. And if it's a local business, you've got to focus on local. But yeah, it's website first, blog second, and social plays into both of them. So,
well, yeah, and that's what I was going to say too. I'm like, you know, as I was thinking about this, I'm thinking to myself, okay, well, if you've done what you've said, like earlier you mentioned, you know, let's create a page that has that content for those people that like to read about it, has that visual type of content for those that are more visual learners, like your mom, has that kind of content if you're wanting to watch a video. And so kind of what I was thinking is if you've done that right, then you do have lots of content for your socials already. I mean, you know, and that's what a lot of people forget, that they can take that video or they can take pieces from that video. They can, share a still shot from it and talk about what that still shot is and then send them over to a place where they can watch, you know, YouTube or wherever you have it hosted, but watch the full video on X or whatever it is and, you know, use that and utilize that content. You know, what are your thoughts right there?
No, I completely agree. The other thing I wanted to say is that a lot of businesses have said to me, I want a blog. And that's great. We all want a blog.
What do you want to blog about?
But the problem is that it is so much more work than any business I've ever talked to anticipates. Well, they have no idea, like, the amount of research and time spent that, you know, and the other issue is the quality of the content. Like, I had a realtor who was like, I have a blog. It's great. I went to the blog and it was all, I sold this house. I sold that house. No one cares. Yep. No one cares. They want to know how big is the master closet? And how big is the kitchen, of a specific home they're looking at? Or for example, in my town, how do you know, how do you choose a home not in a flood zone? You know what I mean? Like, they need informative things that are going to help them make a good decision. They don't need to know just stuff about you. And that's the biggest fail I see on pages and blogs. It's a brag fest. And nobody cares.
And yeah, think about how many sites Melissa said she went to when she was looking for the orthodontist.
Yeah. Yep.
And think about how many times we look at services pages or, and I think I've used this example before, but I have some trees that I still got to get cut down. Mm-hmm. I went from site to site to site trying to figure out, you know, where are they located? What do they do? What do they work on? And some of them had just a page that says, we do all this stuff. There was nothing about anything, like any examples, any pictures, any processes. I knew nothing about anything about their company other than they do a couple things. I'm like, well, but do you remove the stumps? Do you just leave them? Is that part of the offering? You know, am I just going to have 10 stumps out in the backyard so that when we're playing football, you know, hopefully we don't impale ourselves on them? So I think I do think that, and it pains me, like Melissa, you said, that even in today's, you know, people are like, oh, I got to go create a blog. But go look at your services page. What are the common questions your salespeople or customer service people, or if you're the only person, what questions do people constantly ask you? Now, write those down and then go and see on your site where they answered. I bet you most of them aren't.
Right. Yep. And you can add on to your pages and be extremely informative. And one thing I wanted to add to what you said, Dave, was with the trees. This is why people are going to Angie's List, because you can find out, you can get your questions answered there. For some reason, Angie's List is more detailed when you need someone to service your home than the websites are themselves. So, you know, check out Angie's List, see what they have.
It's a pain in the butt process, but I've done it a couple times and I still have the guy's card to do the yard. Well, for my trees, the guy came by and he gave me a quote, and I just haven't been traveling and stuff. I called another local place that had some good reviews online. I called them twice, never heard back.
Yep.
I used a service like that. He paid money to get my lead. Guess who's going to call me back instantly?
Right.
And answered all my questions.
And you know what? I think taking advantage of certain situations, like we recently got our pool slide redone. And when I was talking to the guy about everything, you know, he just mentioned, hey, would you mind taking a picture of this with the kids playing on it? He's like, and if you don't mind, you know, let me know. And so I can post before and after pictures. And so his thing was, you know, the after, showing how the kids are on it, playing on it. Cause if I have a slide that I need to be fixed, I'm going to be looking at content that is being used and loved, you know, or in this case, it's a slide. And so if I'm searching for that, I'm going to see, hey, this is the finished product. And that's the kind of thing that he was looking for. And so it kind of stood out to me and made me think, hey, that's brilliant. So, we need to wrap it up here, guys, but, any final thoughts, Dave or Melissa?
Just real quick, based off of what you said, anytime I have people that come to work on my house, they ask me SEO advice and I tell them, and they'll point out something like, this part of your screen needs to be fixed because this is going to happen. And I tell them every time, take a picture of it and blog about it. Mm. Put it on Facebook. FYI, people, if you see this on your screen, this is what's happening. Education is what creates trust for a business. That's how you make sales. That's my opinion.
I love it. Dave?
Yep, pretty much. I found probably my future HVAC guy, or at least I'd look at his company because I had a quick question about something that was in my basement. They had a detailed like thing that walked you through on YouTube. And I was like, sweet.
Wow, yeah.
They know their stuff.
That's great.
Yep.
And it has thousands of views.
Builds
and
that gets, trust.
You know, from all over. So mm-hmm. Yeah, it's simple education. And but for the bigger things, the small things that he wouldn't want to come out for anyway and fix, I can do now. The bigger things, I'm like, that guy knows his stuff. I'll have him or his company come out.
Right.
Education.
Yep.
All right. This has been a great, speaking of education, very educational podcast. I appreciate you guys. And for Melissa and Dave, I'm Matt Soltola, and we look forward to having you guys back on the next show. And we'll see you later for now. Bye, guys. Mm-hmm.